barometer, though. I'm always warm.
And I'm always cold.
I won't ask you
that. From Florida, but still always cold.
Yeah. Great.
All right.
Great. All right.
Well, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us at North Healthline. Just to share, maybe pause for our camera guy.
Great to start rolling.
Okay. So North Helpline, as I shared before, is an organization that was founded by neighbors coming together, wanting to help their neighbors and pooling resources. Originally started as financial assistance to prevent homelessness, to keep people in their homes, to prevent utility shutoff. And then when a local food bank had to close their doors, that group of volunteers looked at each other and said, well, let's figure out how to run a food bank. And now we operate two food bank sites through our food access programs, as well as home delivery and some other food sharing programs that we operate, as well as our homelessness prevention program, which has sent over $1 million out to the community in the last couple years to keep folks in their homes. We're really excited to host you today, Senator Murray. Thank you. This is the WIC program is definitely something that we fully support. It really takes every piece of support for families to survive. It takes folks accessing the federal benefits, coming to the food bank, and other local partners like the North Seattle Family Center to meet their needs, both accessing diapers and formula where they can. We have really felt the impact of federal cuts to basic needs programs like SNAP. When the pandemic era SNAP increases went away, we saw an increase of about 50% in the folks accessing services at North Helpline, at our food banks. And our food supply did not increase 50%. So we've definitely increased our food purchasing budget, but that's only a drop in the bucket to try and keep up. And are managing our food the best we can to support our community, but folks aren't able to access 100% of their food at our food banks. We are supplemental. We also offer a lot of other different basic need things like pet food. So a lot of folks will feed their pets before they feed themselves. They are members of the family, hygiene and other products to help folks meet their basic needs. And our community connector is on site to help folks access different services like WIC or our homelessness prevention program and things like that. And we host wonderful partners like the Seattle Indian Health Board on site here as well to access health care and medical care. So I pass it.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, thank you to all of you. Really appreciate the time today to hear from all of you about why these federal programs are so important. I know why they're so important personally. I mean, I think some of you know my story that when I was young, my dad got MS and lost his job, seven kids in our family. And we would not have survived without federal support and food stamps and the things the federal government was there for. I watch families today who are struggling so much, and we cannot forget them. You talked about what happened with SNAP when it got cut back. One of the programs that we are really fighting for right now is the WIC program. You all know the Women and Infant and Children Nutrition Program. With all of the chaos going on in the House and the budget cuts and everything, we are now negotiating the last of our bills, and one of the things they want to cut is WIC. I say not on my watch, but the best way for me to be able to tell that story is to come and hear from all of you why it's so important, what you're seeing here on the ground, and why it is so critical that we continue that fund. I know how important this program is. I know that infant formula, the baby food that people access, as we heard from your front office person, makes all the difference on whether their kids can get the nutrition they need and be healthy and well, and their family can survive, something I really understand. I know that it provides other services as well, and getting access to some of those counseling programs and things that otherwise families would be so isolated from. But just walking through and seeing your tour right now and all the families that are out there just getting basic food, we can't forget those people in these challenging times. I'm impressed by all your volunteers who come. They're incredible because they want to give something, and our federal government has to be part of the team to make sure that families in our communities survive. Absolutely. So I'm here today to listen to all of you, learn as much as I can, and then go back and fight with everything I have to make sure we keep this funding for this program. So thanks for taking the time today.
Absolutely.
You bet.
Well, thank you, Senator Murray, and to Kelly as well. North Helpline is an amazing community resource and also just support system. And I've been honored to volunteer and actually interview a lot of the neighbors that North Helpline works with and hear their stories. And just it's really expanded my vision of what can happen with a community resource like North Helpline. So thanks, Kelly, and all your staff. So I thought I'd start out just by sharing, I was on WIC when I became a mom, and my son, I'm going to brag a little bit on my son, he's a senior at Nathan Hale High School here in Seattle. He has a 3.98. He told me, make sure that you tell him it's weighted. he has applied and he's going to university. He wants to study engineering. We're just so proud. But I do not think I would be telling this story without having had WIC. I really do feel at that point I had been laid off from my job. I was working part-time. I had a college degree. I thought, like, I should be able to get a job. But I was teaching adjunct faculty, and if anyone's taught adjunct, it's like $400 a month. So it was just, I couldn't make ends meet. So, you know, a friend said, hey, you should go down to WIC. And I was like, oh, I don't want to, you know, I've never taken unemployment insurance. I've never done any of that. But I did go down, and it was the best decision I ever made. From WIC, I was able to get prenatal care. I was able to get access to the food and resources that you talk about. The home visitor was instrumental in supporting me, and that was definitely through WIC. She was a registered nurse who had retired and decided to become a home visitor. And she
were you a single mom at this time?
I had a partner, but I was, he was just graduating college. I was in my early 30s. We were both working as instructors and teachers, but we just couldn't make ends meet. Yeah. So education. So at that point, you know, we were just lucky to have this home visitor that would come out and really actually helped us, you know, get access to the resources, like food resources, but also breastfeeding support. We were living way out in rural New Mexico at the time, so she was able to help us get access to different resources that were in Santa Fe, New Mexico, references and support for, like, what are we going to, you know, what opportunities are in the community. So they became sort of an open door for us. Like, they just opened a lot of the doors. So that home visitor program was really, really important for us. So, you know, fast forward, my son's 18 now, and again, just thriving in our family. Again, that support was able to get us over that hump. And we were able to get better jobs. We were able to start to, you know, we moved, you know, closer to town. We were able to buy a house, all of those things. And so I went back to college. I decided to go into education in a way of social efficacy. And so now I'm actually, I've had a chance to interview young parents of children 0 to 3. In northern New Mexico and hear their stories and how they're navigating their experiences and how important WIC is to them in their lives. So it's a program that has this history again, a resource I would have never tapped unless I was, again, needing that help. So it was instrumental for us and our family.
Yeah, so you're living what I always say, if my country was there for me when I needed them, now I can get back.
Exactly. Very, very true. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. And I think a lot of times people think folks who are getting WIC or anything like this were never going to be me. And it was interesting to hear your story because you were working, you were doing all the things you thought were just going to be fine, and all of a sudden you have a child and nutrition is important.
Yeah.
And that family support made a difference for you.
Definitely.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Monique, for sharing that amazing story. I think it just goes to show that WIC can be here for everybody, and that there's so many people who don't ever think of themselves as using the program, and they don't see themselves as a WIC participant, and then they have a need, and WIC is here for them. And it has always been here for 50 years, and we need to be sure WIC is here for 50 years in the future as well. We serve about 131,000 people every month right now in Washington WIC. And as the state WIC director, I look at those numbers continually. And In a year, we serve over a quarter of a million people in our state who get all of what WIC has to offer, the food package, which is really important, but also all the referrals that you mentioned, Senator. We refer people to social services, health services. We are really the connector. And in a year, we make 1.5 million referrals of people to other kinds of services they need. Sometimes WIC is their first health care when they're pregnant or have a young one. And we are absolutely a critical part of the safety net for families in our state. Mm-hmm. And in a year, we actually give $100 million back to the state of Washington in food that the WIC program provides to its families, and about a quarter of that is in fruits and vegetables, which is so exciting to see families having access to those foods. And we are now facing a huge crunch. As I'm sure you know, the amount of money that we've received from USDA has been adequate in the time that I've been here, but it is no longer looking that way to me going forward. And the reason is our caseload has risen. In the last 2 years, it's gone up 10%. Food costs have also risen in the last 2 years, and our families are actually spending more of the food that we give to them. So all of it is bringing really a triple threat, and our budget is getting really squeezed. I used to be able to hand some money back to USDA every year, and they would then share it with other states who needed it more. This year, I don't think I can do that, and next year, I may actually be asking for more help. So I'm very concerned. It's been 30 years since we've had waiting lists in WIC in Washington State.
I was going to ask you that.
30 years. If we have to do that again, that means potentially tens of thousands of people won't get care when they need it. And the earlier we help a family in that child's life, preferably before they're born, but it's the earlier the better, because WIC actually saves lives. WIC has been proven to have a 1/3 less risk of dying by age one for kids that are on the program.
Because so they're getting that nutrition.
The nutrition and the measuring and monitoring and making sure everything is going well, it's a life-saving program. Yeah. It's not just a food program. Mm-hmm. And for 50 years, WIC has had bipartisan support in both houses of Congress.
Yeah.
It's been an amazing success story. And you've been a huge part of that, Senator. And I just want to thank you for your strong support for WIC for as long as you've been in the Senate. You have been really a pillar for our program. We really appreciate it. And I just have my fingers crossed that WIC will still be here fully funded for the future.
So let me ask you this, because this is what's on the line right now, is that if we can't get past this funding crisis, we will have waiting lists again.
Yes.
I'm really worried about that. Tell me exactly what that would look like. How would you just first come first serve? How would you do that?
What it means is that we would look at the highest priority, the highest risk. So we would serve people who were pregnant, and we would serve the little kids that were at the greatest risk of harm. But let's be honest, every child in WIC is at risk.
Yeah.
Every family who's pregnant has some risk. So what we would be doing is we'd be saying some families who are at nutritional risk or other risks would not get care right away. We'd have to wait until there was an opening.
And you'd have to be the judge on that.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Hi, Senator Murray. First, I wanted to thank you on behalf of the Seattle Indian Health Board for the invitation to participate in this visit today and for your continued advocacy on behalf of our communities. We also wanted to acknowledge Kelly and North Helpline because of your partnership. We've been operating a clinic just upstairs from this food bank for over a year.
In this building?
In this building, just right upstairs, our Lake City Clinic is operational. And so what that means, and the vision behind it, is that people who come to this food bank have easy access to comprehensive medical care. And so when people go upstairs, they can access a pediatrician, they can access adult medicine, there's mental health care support there, people can reach out for help on substance abuse, we have a mobile dental van that's available here, and people can also receive referrals to our WIC program. And our WIC program that's operated at the International District Clinic is a vital resource for women and children in our communities. Oftentimes, our vice president at the Seattle Indian Health Board, Abigail Echohawk, shares her own story about being a WIC recipient. So she talks about being a young and struggling pregnant teen. She talks about finding her way to the Seattle Indian Health Board to receive prenatal care. She talks about being overwhelmed and scared. And she talks about a really caring medical team that referred her to WIC. And so it was really the WIC staff that linked her with resources. So they provided nutritious food for her. They provided nutritional education. And that support really continued throughout her pregnancy and even after her first son was born. And so Abigail's story, unfortunately, isn't unique. That's the story of the women that we serve at Seattle Indian Health Board. And so we know through research that WIC really is a vital program. The research shows that women who participate in WIC have healthier pregnancies. We know that babies who participate in WIC, they are more likely to receive medical care. They're more likely to be on time for immunization. We know that as babies who participate in WIC enter school age programs, they score better on reading assessments. One of the issues that we wanted to highlight and focus during this conversation today is that the funding shortfall impacts our program. So right now, Seattle Indian Health Board supplements our WIC program with about $40,000 a year. And so our leadership at Seattle Indian Health Board, they are absolutely committed to ensuring that WIC programming continues for our relatives, which is what we call our patient population. And so they are committed to basically continuing those efforts to fundraise. But it's important to note that that shortfall in funding also impacts other programming that we offer. And so we are behind policy efforts to ensure that we have adequate federal funding. We want to ensure that communities don't have to bear that burden alone. We want to ensure that every community-based organization has the resources that they need to operate a WIC program effectively.
Well, I know Abigail. Her story is amazing. Yeah. And she is an amazing leader now, and she wouldn't be here if she didn't have that support at one time in her life. So I think she has a great story to tell, and thanks for sharing that. Yeah. So if we didn't fully fund WIC, what exactly would happen in your program that you would see?
Well, we would continue to fundraise to basically serve every person, but it's like Paul said, you know, there are potentials of wait lists. There are potential women and children that go unserved, essentially. We work really hard to ensure that that doesn't happen because we know the benefit and the power of people participating in WIC so that they have access to nutritious food.
Yeah, I can't imagine having to tell somebody, sorry, we don't have this for you. So
yeah, we try not to do that.
Yeah, I know.
And so
thank you.
Thanks, Senator Murray, for having me here. My name is Chad Davis Montgomery, and I am the regional director for the Supplemental Nutrition Division, which includes WIC in USDA Food and Nutrition Services Western Regional Office. My team and staff work with 11 states, territories, and tribes that administer WIC on the western part of the United States. And so we're uniquely positioned to tell you a little bit about what we're seeing and hearing at the regional office. I guess before I started, the two or three points I wanted to share with you today, I would also just share a personal note as well. Like many of the other stories here, this is an honor to have this role and to serve this country in this way. My mom was a WIC mom when I was born, and I am incredibly honored to be able to serve back this country in the way that I am able to, and I'm convinced that my health and nutrition is because of the services that my mom received when she was pregnant with me. So with that, I guess I would just echo some of the other statements that others have said. At USDA and at the regional office, we know WIC is an evidence-based program. It's one of the most researched programs of the 16 programs that we administer at USDA. Thanks to the work that you all do to give us research dollars, we know that it's evidence-based, that it saves healthcare costs for every dollar that's invested, and that it actually is associated with better birth outcomes overall across the board. You also know that we at USDA have been very focused and committed over the last couple of years of investing heavily in this program on modernization and really bringing the program that served for 50 years to the modern age, making the experience better for participants and helping them access the services in a more modern and efficient way. Things like bringing online shopping to the program, things like increasing the fruits and vegetable benefit in the program, things like allowing for in-person and hybrid support services so that people that can't come to the clinic can still get the services that they need. And our state agencies, like Paul and others across the Western region, have been working with my team to really put a lot of effort and focus in bringing the program to a modern day. And the funding situation today, what we're seeing is a lot of anxiety from our state agencies. My team primarily is there to support the regulatory work, you know, giving states advice and guidance on how they can implement the program. And what's happening is that our team is getting more and more effort and time that's having to spend with state agencies mm-hmm. to talk them through the anxieties. What will happen if the funding's not there? How will we apply? There's regs that talk about the prioritization that would happen. And so my team's going to have to start to beef up the
so
technical
you're planning
assistance.
For the worst.
Yeah, you know, we have to be prepared to be able to provide technical assistance to the state agencies if things do change. And so we would have to, you know, be able to start directing our energy in that way to our state energy, to our state agencies, and we'd have to maybe put on back burner some of the amazing progress and momentum that we've been making in modernization, just from an energy redirection, right? So if states are focused on crisis mode and trying to prioritize caseloads, they can't spend a lot of their energy on figuring out how to bring online shopping or how to improve the shopping experience or how to improve the certification experience in the program. And so
even without that final decision, kids are losing out right now because their energy's not going to...
You know, there's the potential. I think right now we're still in a very early anxiety stage, but, you know, there is that redirection of energy that can start to happen at the federal level, at the state level, and at the local agency level, the local agencies that are actually seeing participants. So, you know, we're very committed at the regional level and at USDA to continuing to support states that implement this program. We're really aware that the states and locals are really the true heroes here. They're the ones that implement the program. And we want to be able to continue to put all of our energy into supporting them and bring it into a modern age and bringing all the great benefits of this program to bear. So,
thanks. Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That's a good reminder to all of us that sometimes the stress in Congress causes stress way down to where our kids are.
Yes.
Yeah. That's, I appreciate that. All right. Well, unless we have any questions.
No, I think we'll try to do a group photo and then we'll do a quick little poll side.
Let me just thank all of you. And I want you all to know I am really committed and I'm sitting right at that table that we do not cut the funding for WIC. Mm-hmm. To me, it's one less of Monique sitting here and we can't afford that as a country. So.
Well, thank you for giving us the opportunity to equip you with the information that you need.
This
to.
Has been very helpful. So thank you. Thanks. All right.
Good. Awesome. Carly, can you for a group photo, if you all want to line up over there with the backdrop of the infant, if you'd like. Yeah, we can move them back a little bit.